Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Exit Light.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. I should have saved that German intro I did a couple of weeks ago for this week, because it's Gamescom week. We're not actually in Germany for the second year in a row, which is sad, because I think I speak for everyone when I say I love Germany, and I love being in Germany, and I love being at Gamescom.
Yes.
But sadly, it's digital again. Last night, we had the big Jeff Keighley opening night live, because we're recording this on Thursday, because... why not? We're rebels like that. We're going to talk. We're not going to go through everything that he talked about and revealed, because there's only a few things, like a few new things we want to touch on, I think. Plus, this week is just rammed already. We've got so many games we've been playing, some TV we've been watching. We've got so much this week. So why don't we just get straight to it, Dale and Jesse?
Hello.
I was wondering when you would get to that. Someone's actually with you.
Exactly. No, it's just me this week. Should I do a solo one? That would be so boring. Few people can pull off a solo podcast.
Remember that infamous one we did? It was just me and you, Caddy.
Infamous. I think it's one of the best.
Infamous, mate. Because it was always like, I remember, I never realised how beneficial the dynamic of three people is, because there's always someone to jump in on at the end of a conversation.
What was the occasion for only having you two there?
It's no one
in. I think we were literally the only, it was before you joined, and there was only... yeah, me, Dale, Joe, and Alan. I think they were both either out or busy, so we literally just had to do it. Anyway, gone are those days, because we have been more than enough people and more than enough to talk about. I think there's only one place to start with some of the stuff from Opening Night Live, and I've got to go straight to it. I think it's pronounced Dokkaebi. It's Dokkaebi. It just looks mad. This was revealed first, I think, 2 years ago. It's from Pearl Abyss, the guys who do, what is it called? It
Black Desert called MMO.
Black Desert, that's it. And this Dokkaebi, if you haven't watched the trailer, it's 3 minutes of complete madness and colours, and just, it looks like pure joy to me, which is what I like about it. It's kind of the opposite. Whenever I've looked at Black Desert, I've been like, that's just not for me.
Yeah.
Whereas this, I'm into, and I'm so happy that it's not an MMO. They've described it as an open world action adventure. And as far as I can tell, it's kind of their own take a bit on Pokemon. It's kind of like a Pokemon GTA is in my head, is what I want this to be.
Whatever this game is going to be, I'm excited for it, because it looks pretty and mad and bonkers.
I was going to say, you're skipping over the main selling point, which is it looks phenomenally beautiful. One of the best looking games I've ever seen.
The exciting thing is, it looked like it was pretty much all gameplay as well, what they were showing as well.
Yeah, it was like it almost like the world looks so photorealistic, but then you've got these weird, like, sort of baby human chibi sort of characters running around.
Bonkers.
And then all these colourful, wacky, like, honestly, there was so much in that trailer, I don't even know where to begin on the weirdness, like, what was going on.
I think they described, it's kind of like, in the way it's like Pokemon, it's like a creature collecting game. There's these creatures called, I think they're big in like Korean culture, I think they're called Dokkaebis or Dokkaebis, which is actually spelt differently, but a character from Rainbow Six Siege. There's lots of mad ones in that trailer. There's a llama, there's like a pink anteater, it's like a big panda with boxing gloves at one point.
it all went by so fast, a lot of it didn't stick.
You've got so many modes of transport as well. You've got like a jet ski, a mini car, you can like float and be like a little shitty Spider-Man.
Sort of like electronic whip for it. Like, who knows? Like, they've given no details on when this game is coming out or anything like that. But I don't know. It just looks... I hope it is what we think it is.
Yeah.
But
Do you get that vibe?
You don't really know how it all plays out in real time, I guess, because you have like that like super highlighted section of gameplay. But I can't, in my mind, I want it to be open world, but when it comes to the combat, a bit like Devil May Cry, you're just throwing everything at the controller and stuff. I want it to be like that.
Do you get the vibe that it's just that sort of harbor area? That's like the entire game.
No, because wasn't there like a little like snowy area or something like that?
I didn't know if that was just a different season. In the same place
because I could get like why it looks so good if it's isolated in this like small town and it's just like they're purely focused on that one little area, but there's loads to do and it's really dense.
I mean, you could go out to sea, they look like a massive mountain and a forest as well. I don't know, it just looks and that's the thing, you said it, like it just grabs your eye, it looks so nice, and that's what I like. I feel like a lot of the best graphically good games we get are like, you've got The Last of Us, you've got Red Dead. They're quite fundamentally dour worlds. They're quite like grimy places to be. You've got Ghost of Tsushima, which is also one of the most beautiful games to play, which has a mixture of both. It does have some very beautiful parts as well. But I just like that this is full on just colourful and just looks full of just joy, really.
Yeah, it's just colourful and weirdly realistic, and you haven't seen that two combined, I feel like, for ages, to be fair.
I would say as well, like, if you haven't seen this trailer, by the way, even if you're like me and who's not like into Pokemon or anime stuff at all, seek it out. It's 3 minutes of your time. Watch it and just see how amazing it looks.
It is just mad, man.
It's totally worth watching. Like, it's incredibly looking game. And it's actually something that I would have never even give like a second's thought about playing this game. And now I'm intrigued to see if it like actually looks and plays like this.
Yeah,
here we go, like 2 years later and I'm like the biggest fan in the world, like a massive addict.
Exactly. There was a time like a year or two ago where I kind of had open world fatigue a bit. But I think it was because it was these massive sort of like Breath of the Wild, Ghost, Tsushima, Red Dead, sort of massive kind of foresty worlds. I feel like I haven't had a big city, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm just misremembering some games that come out, like a big city like a GTA or something will come on to very
Dogs,
soon.
I guess we had
Watch Dogs, I suppose, but ultimately I was a little disappointed by that, I feel.
Donk City in Mario Odyssey.
Saying that, Watch Dogs was like nearly a year ago now, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. I want some new cities. Like, basically the dream is I want GTA 6 or these rumoured GTA remasters at some point, because I just want to play a GTA.
Oh, yeah.
But for now, we have to do with holding on to Dokkv, and maybe some people be interested in a new Saints Row, which they revealed as well. A reboot, they've said. So it's, I think it's just called Saints Row, isn't it? It's not got a subtitle. It's not anything. I've never really got into Saints Row that much. I've always loved GTA, played all the GTAs, but Saints Row has always been the little brother to me, and the one I don't think I've ever finished a Saints Row. I've played a couple of them.
Saints Row the Third is good.
Yeah, like, that's the one I played the most of. But yeah, I don't know what you guys feel about this new one. I'm kind of, it's out, I think, was it early February. Early 2022? Yeah, so I probably could be into it then, but also they just did announce Horizon as being pushed to February 2022.
I didn't watch this live, so I woke up this morning, watched the trailers, and I watched the trailers just on my own this morning, and I saw this and I thought, that looks pretty cool. It looks like they're sort of dialing back the mentalness of Saints Row 4 and what came out, like Get Out of Hell and what came after that, and Agents of Mayhem, turning that back just a little bit to the craziness of Saints Row 3, or Saints Row the Third, which for me was like the perfect balancing point. It was like when it stopped being just a pure tacky GTA ripoff and it sort of came, it established its own identity and just it was about having fun in the world without going to the next level of 4, which was like superpowers and
aliens, it was too wacky for its own good, I feel.
So
like.
I was into it and I saw the trailer, but then afterwards I saw the response and I was like, I felt a bit confused by it, but then it's also, I don't think it's not without merit. Like, I saw a lot of people saying, like, it does sort of take the essence of what made Saints Row different to GTA away a little bit. And now it could just be any other game now.
I know what you mean, but I feel like in a world where we don't have a new GTA at the moment, maybe I would be happy with just that. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw it, it felt like, you know, the CGI trailer came first, and that was just, you know, another typical pretty CGI trailer. It doesn't show you much of what you would want to see. And that little gameplay snippet, again, it was just like a fairly vanilla, bit more of a laid-back Saints Row experience. But, Dale, you mentioned it there. Just the feedback and reception from it, like, hardcore Saints Row fans are pretty upset.
Yeah.
And I think it's down to the characters as well. People really like Gat and Pierce and Shondi and, like, those characters. It's mad, but, like, the amount of Saints Row games that there have been, and like, you know, Gat has been in all of them, you know, people actually like these characters, and now they're all been replaced, I guess, but you've already had so many games with them.
Well, you know. I would say, like, my assumption immediately was that these were people that were a bit younger than me and grew up and they played Saints Row when they were like really young, and they have such more of an attachment to it because it was it was the GTA they could play, or they played as a kid, right? And it was silly and slapstick. You know how people have the affinity. I don't really have it, but I understand a lot of people have it for Simpsons Hit and Run.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it's like of how old you were when you first played that game. And that was my assumption about why people had an affinity for Saints Row 1 and 2 so much.
No, I think that makes sense because, like, I mean, just for myself growing up, I wasn't allowed to play GTA, but Saints Row was fine, and, you know, Simpsons Hit and Run.
Which
that
is
was,
weird, because
like,
if
GTA.
Anything, it's more disgusting.
Yeah, but, like, parents know, or parents have this, like, conceived notion about GTA and what happens in it, and then you see any other game, it's like, oh, this is a 15. That don't really matter, it's not GTA.
I guess it's tough because I think fundamentally the first two Saints Rows were a bit derivative and not necessarily didn't really excel. But there's this passionate fan base that want more of that. And so do you deliver on that, or do you try and do something new? And even if what's new is perceived as a step backwards, I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, I do quite like this. There's quite a few games in the show that were revealed or re-revealed at the show, and then we're just coming out within like 6 months, so we're getting that in February, assuming it's not delayed. Some of these games get delayed, I'm sure, but I liked that, you know, they're not announcing a new Saints Row and they're like, hear more again in a year. It was just like, we're revealing it and it's coming soon. That's maybe cool. You'll enjoy it.
The 6 month turnaround is my favorite. I think like announce it and then you get to play it in 6 months time,
not too long.
Exactly,
not too short.
Yep. We'll see more of that soon. A game that was revealed was Marvel Midnight Suns from Firaxis, who are well known for their XCOM games. But this game doesn't seem to be an XCOM game from what I've heard and read. They said it kind of shares none of the same gameplay elements as an XCOM game, and it's described more as a tactics RPG, which does excite me. Like, I would have been happy also if it was an XCOM game, so I do enjoy a good XCOM game, but also I like a good tactics RPG. Yeah. So they described it more as there's a lot of fighting. Obviously, it's a Marvel tactics game. There's going to be a lot of fighting, but it's also as much an RPG. Like, you will be living your character's life as well, which sounds pretty cool.
I pictured it as kind of like Chimera Squad, because, you know, XCOM is you have like these individual characters who can, you know, die at any moment. I remember Chimera Squad being like, you know, how Firaxis tried to handle like having unique squad mates that can't necessarily die off permanently. And this is how I imagined Midnight Suns, because I doubt you're going to have Iron Man, you know, getting blown to bits and then you never see him again.
I'm surprised about you saying they're not like sort of emulating XCOM's formula, because I don't know if you saw our dev interview on our live show, and he mentioned how the deal first came together was that one of the big wigs at Marvel who decides who get Marvel games was a massive fan of XCOM and presented them to them. But maybe, you know, since then he's like, well, we love what you guys do. Can we evolve it to something unique for this Marvel game, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, they're just a good, solid developer, I think, for Axis.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Like, we don't really know much more about that apart from on September 1st, which is that next Wednesday, next Tuesday? I've lost track of the days. Next
that is Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yeah. They're doing the gameplay reveal, so we'll see a lot more of that then. So if you're excited.
I like the look of the characters as well. It's cool that Blade's in a game as well.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not just, we've had Marvel's Avengers recently, and we kind of have, you know, I know people are a bit marveled out, but they were having a few of the characters. Like, we haven't had too much Wolverine or Ghost Rider or those characters recently.
It feels a bit refreshing when you don't have, like, the core heroes. Like, I kind of forgot that Wolverine would be fighting alongside, I don't know, like, Captain Marvel and Blade and stuff, like, because they've always been so separate in media for ages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Looking forward to that one. We got a first look at extended gameplay for Call of Duty Vanguard. It's always a tough sell, that, because, you know, it's like a big like celebration of games, these sort of shows, and then like here's what, near 8 minutes of the Battle of Stalingrad, one of the more horrific battles in the in human conflict, I would say. But it's weird because I thought they were, so I had a Call of Duty pre-brief a couple of weeks ago, and they showed off a section of campaign gameplay, which I can actually talk about, but I didn't because I assumed it would be the section they showed at this show, but it's not, because I saw a piece from the campaign, which is Operation Tonga, which is like the day before D-Day, and you're a British paratrooper dropping into France.
Yeah.
And that was a really cool section of gameplay. Like, you landed, like, your parachute failed, you landed in a river, you had to, like, scramble. You're basically on your own behind enemy lines. You scramble into a farmhouse. The farmhouse catches on fire, and there's Nazis around the house. It's German troops looking for
you. It sounds pretty intense.
Yeah, it was really intense and quite, like, scary. It was more like a horror game moment. And then, like, it's just everything's on fire and you're, like, one person against a squad of eight just trying to sneak around. It's kind of similar to what was going on in this section
as
well.
This just seemed a bit oddly paced because, like you said, it's Stalingrad, but they show you the aftermath and then they cut to the pre-invasion part.
Yeah,
and I felt that kind of made
it
a bit flat.
I don't know if that's how it works in the campaign. That felt like an odd... I don't know. Yeah, I know what you mean. It was kind of like a really stealthy section with a few Molotovs thrown in, and then we're going to cut to the start of the invasion of Stalingrad and bombs dropping. And yeah, I don't know. I think they were trying to get across more of the human story elements and kind of what made the original Call of Duties a bit more kind of a bit more based in history, try and show off. So I know they're trying to base this one in history, but obviously with a license to tell a fictional story. But
yeah,
I was into it. I'll play the Call of Duty campaign. Like I said last week or the week before, I'm just into World War II. So, yeah, I just felt it was odd. You know, it's always like you have like something like Doki V, the most colourful thing you've ever seen in your life, like bubblegum being chucked in your face at 100 miles an hour. And then, yeah, here's eight minutes of Stalingrad. It's like,
people
being
blown up by rockets.
Then.
And shit.
A variety, mate. It's a spice of life.
Exactly. Did notice one thing. There was a lot of climbing in that gameplay. Section.
Yeah, there was
wasn't really ready
like
for
Uncharted,
that.
Uncharted like handholds. Used to that. Yeah, it's just weird in a first person game. I think, to see that.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm into it. Lego Star Wars, we've finally seen again.
Finally.
I've been looking forward to this. Like, I think it was revealed over 2 years ago. I think it was E3 2019 when I saw this behind closed doors, and I remember seeing it, and no one else had seen it, and being like, "This looks incredible! You won't believe what they're doing in Star Wars. It's got sort of like a third person shooter angle to all the combat, and like RPG aspects, numbers flying like Borderlands style off of enemies, and it looks amazing, like graphically." Mm. And then they didn't show anything for almost 2 years, and I was like, "Believe me, it looks really good." And there was a new trailer, which is pretty much what you can expect from a Lego Star Wars game, is funny cutscenes and scenes you know from the films.
I would say.
And then they said it's coming out spring 2022, finally. Hopefully it is, anyway.
May 4th, innit?
I would say the... I don't know if the trailer did reinforce what you're saying about it as much. Like, it just felt like another Lego Star Wars game, which I'm into and I want to play because I haven't played one of them in a while.
We did
see that snippet, that brief shot of the entire
galaxy
overworld. You're choosing what planet you can go to, and that's really cool. I wonder how comprehensive each planet is.
I feel that's what I saw a lot more of, which is like it was a lot more open world, and you could these are large open areas. The planets, they're not just levels you're flying in between. You can do them in any order. It was a lot more freer and open than any Lego game before. Yeah.
That seems like the natural progression for Lego games, because when I think of Lego Star Wars, the original was like, what was it? You start in the cantina and you're just walking door to door and starting mission like that. And this, you know, not having that kind of typical hub area and actually being able to explore looks pretty good. And I still think it's weird that what could be maybe one of the best Star Wars games in many, many years is going to be a Lego one.
It's been that way for a while.
I'm still a little bit salty that we haven't had a game like this that wasn't Lego. Because in my head, this is like my dream Star Wars game, but
I know. You're still ruining that lost TT Games Lord of the Rings pitch, aren't you?
Yeah, that still hurts as well.
Maybe one day. Did anyone else find it funnier in the Lego games where the cutscenes weren't dialogue-driven? Were they just people just going,
I feel like in this day, you kind of, I don't know, maybe you need to... They're trying to reinvent them, aren't they? So maybe they just thought, let's do it fully voiced this time.
They've been doing that for a while, but I just always remember thinking it was funnier when, you know, someone threw a banana at someone's head when they were going, at the same time.
I'm still looking forward to that game a lot. Hopefully we get to play it in spring, because I think it was meant to be spring this year. Mm. Or maybe even the year before it was meant to come out. I can't even remember.
At least they're taking their time with it.
Exactly. Lastly, from ONL, we're going to talk about UFL, which kind of came out of nowhere, and it's kind of refreshing to see. I've actually got to talk to the developers about this, so I don't know if you guys have any questions. If you don't know what UFL is, it's a new football game, which to a lot of people may sound boring, but I think to football fans, it's just refreshing to see, because for so long now, it's been FIFA, PES, now eFootball, and Football Manager. Those are pretty much the only football games you can get that, or
Mario Soccer,
really, maybe? Any sort of sales. When's the last time that came out?
<I don't know. laughs>
15 years? I don't know. It's been this way for a long time now. They used to have all the different football games, like Actual Soccer, Sensible Soccer.
How many years ago was that?
Virtual
was that
Football.
Super Kickoff. That's what I remember.
Like,
is that like PS2 era?
Yeah, PS1 even.
Yeah, it's
been a long time, really, since we've had
LMA Manager. Do you remember that?
Exactly. But these guys seem to want to be trying something new, and I'm intrigued. They've been working on it for 5 years already.
Wow.
And it kind of sounds like a mixture between a Football Manager game and a football game.
Okay.
And it's free to play, and their mantra is fair to play, so no microtransactions. Like, they're basically, they've studied the market and looked at what is everyone annoyed about FIFA with and gone, let's do the opposite of that and see if people want it. And I'm intrigued by it.
Isn't there that crowd who actually just really love Ultimate Team, though, love putting down the cash, you know, to get their favourite?
I'm sure they'd love to do it without spending the cash.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, do you feel like that's the crowd they're trying to win over? Or do you feel like they're trying to win after, like, traditional, like, football game fans? You just want to play the core game.
There'll be a lapse of it. And do you know what? I think, PES, I keep calling it PES, it's called eFootball now. It's a stupid name, eFootball, but we have to deal with it. They're going free to play this year, but they're launching essentially as a demo soon. And I don't know if you saw the news article today, they're not even launching with all the actual gameplay abilities in the game.
That was mental. Like, I watched
some of the animations aren't included.
Wait, what, for eFootball?
Ridiculous.
Yeah. It was like, what was it like? The type of striking where it's like sharp or some sharp strikes.
It's missing animations.
It's missing gameplay, like mechanics even, that will be patched like weeks into the game.
They're
launching it in
mad.
Such a weird state, it seems like. I just don't have a good feeling about that game. And they say it's free to play, but it sounds like you're going to have to pay if you want like Master League on top of it and stuff like that. So I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of unhappy Pro Evo fans, and maybe they'll be looking for a new game.
I more understand that part, but what I think is the free game should be the core football experience that you can play and have fun, and then all the other modes are things that you can bolt on. I guess I kind of understand that, but advertising features, gameplay features, and then saying this is coming later, so the actual first one that release is not like the actual built game.
It's like that, you're essentially launching an early access or a beta version of the game. Like,
I feel like that just doesn't make sense.
It's
for
very
a sports game,
I don't know what they're doing with over at Konami. Maybe UFL will catch some of these people that are kind of drifting from these games. No idea when this is coming out. They haven't said that.
The big question that I imagine audience might have, and I have, that I'm sure you've got the answer to, is there any licensed players, teams, what's going on?
They haven't really delved into that. So I don't know how the team league licensing is going to work, because FIFA pretty much have that locked up. They have announced they're working with FIFA Pro, who are like the player representatives. And they've got, I think, 5,000 or so real-life players they're going to have in the game. So I'm kind of, in my head, envisioning it's almost like, and they're kind of saying it's mixed with like real-life stuff.
Okay.
In a weird way. So I'm almost thinking you create your own club, like your virtual team in this game, in this online environment, but then you get real players to play for you. So I think there may be real players, but no real actual clubs or leagues. I'm just theorising here and like speculating.
It's all a bit mucky right now, isn't it? Like Manchester United with Football Manager have got a weird thing this season coming up, haven't they? Where they can't use the club name anymore and stuff. It's like,
there's so much money involved in all this.
I want to ask, is this like a brand new studio developing this?
Yes, so they're a brand new studio. They're called Strikers Inc. And they're dotted all around Europe. They've got offices in like Cyprus, Ukraine, Lithuania, Belarus, I think.
I don't know if you would have the answer, but I kind of just want to know what their kind of like pedigree or history is, because obviously trying to go against FIFA or eFootball, that's like a monumental task. And whether or not they have, I don't know, the know-how to even do that.
They talk a good game, to be fair to them, and I don't know what their actual development pedigree is behind it, but like I said, they've been developing this for 5 years already. They've still got no proper gameplay to show off, so who knows where it's going, but they seem to be going about it the right way, and it's intriguing more than anything. You know, who knows what, like, because the key to any football game really is how well does it play.
Yeah.
If it plays well on the pitch, then people will play it, especially if it's free to play. So
even if it doesn't have all the players that you want, just the core gameplay as well.
I mean, I think so. It might have the players, but I don't know.
Because like, I picture it as like the same kind of situation like as a wrestling game. The core gameplay can be there and it could be perfect, but people still want to play as their favourites.
There's a couple of caveats to that. One is if you've got sort of create like an editor where you can add your own things, because a lot of games, there's a lot of wrestling games like that where if you put an editor in the game, then people will just make it all. And yeah, pairs, like people just make the kits and the teams and stuff. But yeah, I would say with pairs, like at its peak, it didn't have like all the team names and stuff, and people like that was the most popular football game at that time. So I don't think it necessarily always matters. Obviously it's nice to have, but like Card is right. The core, like, is this fun to play is like the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. It's intriguing. We'll hopefully learn more of it. I don't know when. They've not really announced when it's coming out, if there's going to be a beta or anything, but yeah, keep your eyes on UFL, which I haven't actually got official confirmation. I think it stands for Ultimate Football League. That would be my best guess.
It's kind of close
to that. I'd like to know.
NFL and UFC, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's an in-between. They know what they're doing there, I think. But yeah, it's an odd one. It's an intriguing one. That's all we're going to talk about from ONL. Why don't we talk about some games you can actually play now, because that's much more exciting. You two boys, I believe you've been playing a lot. I'm very jealous I haven't got to play it yet, and I believe you've even finished it. Aliens Fire Team Elite. Ooh,
done more than finished it, mate. Played
what an experience.
So yeah, Aliens Fire Team Elite is a third person multiplayer, like three player multiplayer shooter that's split up into four mini campaigns, each with three mission 20 minute missions each, that are kind of built in like the way the Avengers is, like game is, like if it's for repairability, you want to go back and get your hidden crates, get new gear, earn more points, try on different difficult levels, try new operators. That's a vibe. There's like five classes to choose from. And yeah, it's all based in the alien world, but it also dips its toe into other films in the series as well. I don't think it's a spoiler to say, because I'm pretty sure they showed it in the trailer. There's Prometheus elements in there as well, which when I found that out, it makes it extra interesting, because we've never really had a game involved in like Prometheus before. It's always
been Prometheus is a perfectly good film before people
I like Prometheus.
Prometheus,
although when I was playing, when we were playing, because me, Jesse and Matt were playing together, Matt every now and again was slagging Prometheus, so I'm like, watch it, mate. I like Prometheus. So anyway, so yeah, because normally alien games, like Isolation is purely like inspired by Alien. Colonial Marines, despite what you think of it, is purely inspired by Aliens. Whereas this one seems to take elements from all of the games in the series. Obviously it's headlined with Aliens, so that's kind of, it's very much about the Colonial Marine experience, but it takes elements from all in the series. I think it's, I've had a few people ask me about this game, and I would say, they say, is it worth playing? And I say, if you're a fan of Aliens and you've got friends to play with, 100%, like this is a really fun game to play with friends. It's like, it's got all the visuals, all the sound effects, all the Easter eggs and references that you'd want, all the weapons that you'd want as well.
Yeah.
And they put you in fun situations. However, if you playing it on your own,
it's a bit of a slog.
Well, it feels pointless. Like,
you're
playing with two synth characters who back you up, but there's not, they play as the most basic rank. All they've got is like a grenade. That's the only, and everyone else is, so there's different classes. There's Demolisher, there's Technician, there's a Doc, and they all have their different abilities. Like Technician can put down turrets. Demolisher has like the super smart gun, you know, what like Vasquez has in Aliens. And other gadgets and stuff. And a Doc obviously has healing stuff. So you're complementing each other with a class and you're working together.
You don't get any of that in the single player experience, though, because like, what I thought would have been a brilliant idea was that, you know, the first mission, your synth teammates, you know, basic rank, then you move on to the second mission. Maybe they have, you know, a bit of updated gear to reflect, you know, your rank progressing, but you don't have any of that. It is like the base standard AI throughout every single mission, and it really does not lend itself to making Aliens Fireteam Elite an enjoyable experience when your AI are, you know, dumb as a bag of bricks.
Like, in the moment, Aliens is absolutely, like, it will not surprise you when I tell you this, to say that after you finish the game, there's a horde mode unlocks as well. Because in its moment, the best moment it creates is, there'll be these several parts and levels where you've got this button to activate something. And once you do that, you know waves are coming at you.
Yeah.
And it will always mm-hmm. warn you about this. And you've go, okay, you've got a little bit of time here to prepare, set down some traps, set down turrets, work out your positions, how you're going to work together as a team. And then it will unleash the waves on you. And that they're so good at creating that moment, you know, in Aliens, when the alien first comes out of the wall and they're being overwhelmed with them all, at creating that moment and that feel of like this frantic energy. It's so good at replicating that. And with, but you need your friends to be playing with you to do that, so you can all combine your powers and work together. So it's like, I would say, honestly, playing on your own is like a joyless experience.
Yeah,
in this game.
It's as if you're playing, like, it's not as good as like if you're playing Left 4 Dead by yourself. But, you know, if you have a group of mates who, you know, love playing World War Z or Left 4 Dead Comp, and, you know, you enjoy going against hordes of zombies and just, you know, you like aliens, then you should definitely check this game out. It's kind of like just a cheap and cheerful experience with mates.
I would say, like, the first time I started playing it, I wasn't sure about it. It felt like, I think they don't do a great job of setting up the threat of aliens to begin with. Like, when you first experience them, like, 30 seconds into a level, and they just start coming at you. And it's like, there's no build-up, and they go down.
Yeah. That's the thing about aliens. The threat of them is the scariest bit, like knowing they're there.
Well, it's the exact opposite to Isolation, right? It's like, whereas like, that is all about avoiding this one alien. Whereas in this one, they come at you in waves and they go down. Like, as easy in Back 4 Blood as zombies go down, they go down that easy.
Yeah, that's
not how xenomorphs hunt. They kind of stalk and silently, like, kind of,
That's the thing, like, everyone knows how, like, a xenomorph or an alien is meant to operate, because they're, you know, in all the films, it's always like, oh, these are the perfect organism, and Alien Isolation was a great showcase of how lethal and scary an alien can be. Yeah. And I know Aliens, the film, is easier to adapt into a game because it's, you know, like I said, it's basically Left 4 Dead because of all the action, but the tension isn't really there in Aliens unless you're playing on a harder difficulty.
So that's where the tension comes. So it definitely, I think it gets a lot better as it goes, because there's obviously tons of variety in terms of the aliens. They've got big boss ones that come at you, and sometimes they'll send multiples of those at you, swarming at you, and then it becomes frantic and chaotic, and it's like there's a great tension there. But I don't think it makes a great first impression is what I'm trying to get at.
Honestly, like, the only campaign I thoroughly enjoyed was the final one, because that, to me, felt closer to Aliens, the film, than anything else. There's times where, you know, you might be fighting aliens in broad daylight, and to me that doesn't feel right, because you can see everything. There's like, there's just no tension to that when I'm fighting them in broad daylight.
I would say, loosely, there's four campaigns, and the four campaigns, not chronologically, but tend to be themed around a film. Like, not necessarily their story, because it's a different story, but in their presentation and what you're doing. And the fourth campaign is definitely the Aliens campaign, you know, or the second half of Aliens campaign sort of thing. And that was spectacular. Like, me and you were playing together, Jesse, and like, we were talking about what it could be. And like, I just remember how panicky we were at that last mission, just trying to get everything ready and deal with all these waves coming at us. And
I mean,
it was really good.
Yeah, and you can speak to this. You can tell how excited I was during that final mission compared to the rest of the campaigns we played through, because that really felt like, this is Alien. This is what Aliens Fireteam Elite should be, that final section
so
of the campaign.
You've said, like, these campaigns, and that's, like, the Aliens one. Just to be clear, these aren't the actual plots of the film.
No.
I say that, I mean, like, presentation-wise. Like, the area you're in, and the kind of the enemies you're dealing with, and things like that. Only loosely. Like, don't take that to the bank. This is just me, like... Yeah. Playing the game thinking, this one feels like Prometheus. This one feels like Alien, you know?
Yeah.
There's tons of Easter eggs in the world and things like intel to find, which like, I don't want to say what it is, but I picked one up last night that said something about what happens in one of the films and stuff like that. So there is like, they've scattered the world in there, but this is a world that exists after Aliens, and everyone knows about xenomorphs. And xenomorphs have taken over all these areas, and you're being tasked to go and deal with them, or get people out, or rescue someone, or whatever that sort of stuff.
I was looking forward to playing. I'm still going to play it. I'll probably play it with some friends, like you said. Yeah. I'm not going to play it on my own. And I think that's all it needs to be for me, is like solid enough shooting, and for them just to get the look, and think more importantly, the sound right.
Oh, the sounds are incredible. Yeah. They are really good at building the threat with the sounds as well, because obviously you've got your scanner as well, you've got all those noises that works as like your mini map sort of thing, but then you've got the sounds of the pulse rifle as well.
They even down to like different alien types, because there are different alien types. You have the standard kind of, you know, like dog-shaped one from Aliens, which is really fast and tiny. Then you have the actual alien from Alien, which is kind of like, you know, this big bruiser that just like beelines to you. Yeah. And then you have a few other varieties as well. And you end up learning, like, you know, what these colored dots mean on your radar, yes. how each of them sound and stuff. So it's like, oh no, now we have a big, like, big fuck off alien coming towards you. Now you start to get ready for stuff like that. 100%
been inspired by like Left 4 Dead and stuff. Like,
there is
definitely like big themed aliens which have different tactics that you have to deploy. Some of them, like from a lore perspective, don't make any sense whatsoever. But as
one with a little hat that just laughs.
But ones that like are going beyond their nature, like what they've been presented in the film, but. As a game, it's a fun mechanic because it mixes it up. And he's like, okay, now we've got to go, okay, we've been doing this to deal with this type, but we've got a different type coming at us now, and we've got to take that out while the other type's still coming at us.
Yeah, some of them are like way more video gamey than what you would have seen in the Alien films.
But
nice. I'm into it.
I can't say enough good things about the presentation of the game, though. It just, as a fan, a massive fan of Aliens, like, literally got the posters behind my head right here.
Like, yeah.
It's second to none in terms of that. It's not Alien Isolation. Get that in mind. Yeah.
It's a different sort of game.
Yeah, think of it as more like Back 4 Blood with aliens, and that's the sort of vibe you get.
Nice. I think it's only 30, 35 quid as well, so it's not even like a full priced game.
Yeah,
so
yeah, just like make sure to play it with mates and stuff, because like, it does have matchmaking. You can play with randos and there is voice chat, but you want to have, you know, two other mates with you to really make it a good time.
100%. And also they've said... they're releasing more campaigns for free as well as it goes.
Nice.
That's cool. So that'd be like, I'm sure especially me and Jesse and whoever else is still fancy playing it, like every time they release a new campaign, we'll probably be diving in to play that. So
yeah.
The Aliens versus Predator map.
None of that.
They've already done AVP games. Let them rest.
Get it. Go in. Start the train. That's one of my guilty pleasures. Guilty pleasures. I don't mind the first Alien versus Predator.
I mean, it's mad to me. They say, Jesse, didn't you ask me once? Like you were unsure. Like you thought it was actually like core part of the series as well.
Well, no, but like they are like obviously the paths have crossed with them. Like from the films to the games and comics.
I think it's like a joke thing when you say like it's canon, it's lore, and I like as a fan refuse to accept them as that.
No, that's the thing. I don't even know if they are, but like you look at Aliens Fighting Elite, and with every Alien game that comes out, they're always saying this is canon now. They did the same thing for Colonial Marines, so that piece of shit is canon, and all the new Aliens in Fighting Elite are canon. But I don't know if people care about Aliens canon.
Not really. Like,
I don't think.
I don't anyway.
I think some people do. I don't know. I say AVP is a guilty pleasure. I saw it once 15 years ago, and I remember thinking it was all right. So,
I would say like one final bold statement is. For how well Alien Isolation represented Alien, I think this does an equal job of representing aliens as like what that film is all about, you know?
Yeah.
Like I would say that. That's bold, but yeah.
Oh, he's done it though, he's gone there. let's talk about another game that's an altogether different vibe. Psychonauts 2, Jesse. You've already played through, I believe you've played through it twice already.
Jeez.
Yes.
Keen beaver boy.
do you two lot know much about Psychonauts?
It totally passed me by the first time, but it's weird to me because I really like Tim Schafer's stuff and I like Double Fine as well. I just never played Psychonauts 1. But Psychonauts 2 is just getting endless like critical praise. I will definitely be. I've already got it downloaded on Xbox Game Pass. So
that's the mad thing.
Playing it.
I mean, obviously, I haven't spoken much about it at all yet, but to have a game like Psychonauts 2 on Game Pass where you can just get, you know, a month or 3 months for like £1 and then be able to play a game like this, it's fucking mind blowing, man. But in case you don't know what Psychonauts is about, you play as a psychic 10-year-old called Rasputin, whose family is a group of traveling acrobats. And one day, and this is during the first game, Raz runs away from home to join a group known as the Psychonauts, who are like a group of international spies / mind investigators and fixers. It's like a very psychedelic, trippy game.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so bizarre, man. But I think it's been, 15, 16 years since Psychonauts 1?
Something like that.
And
it's a real cult game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I only played it for the first time maybe 2 years ago, but I really, really enjoyed it because you just don't see many action platformers that actually, you know, handle themselves quite well these days.
It's a Schafer joint, isn't it, as well? That's like, most of his games are cult games.
But with Psychonauts 2, I know there's a lot of people who might not be you're a little bit worried trying to jump in because it has been, you know, for so many years ago since the last game came out. But Psychonauts 2 only takes place a couple of days after the first game, despite it being 16 years afterwards. Okay. And thankfully, Psychonauts 2 does a good job, you know, catching the players up from what happened on the first game and the VR spin-off.
Okay.
Because it has like a little nice cinematic at the opening. But just gameplay aside for now, the story around Raz himself, the way it unravels, it's like it's a really personal story. And just, I don't think I've played many Double Fine games before, but the writing of Tim Schafer and that team, it's really, really just enjoyable and lovely.
He's one of the best.
He is known, for that. Yeah.
And it's weird because the game feels a little bit old school. You know, it's been in development for, I think, 5 years. It got, you know, crowdfunded a while back. But it's old school, but not really in a frustrating way. Sometimes it's a little bit unprecise when you're platforming. Sometimes the combat can be a little bit finicky, but overall the package itself, you know, from the characters to the abilities you're using when you're, you know, going against these varieties of enemies and just the world specifically, because you're traveling into different people's minds, like each mission, it just feels like such a creative and just refreshing game. I finished it twice.
How modern and different does it feel to the first one? Because it is like 16 years later.
I feel like it's going to sound weird, but I played Mario 64 recently again, just to kind of just refresh my mind, because I wanted to go back to Odyssey. And I'm not saying it's a jump from like Mario 64 to Odyssey, but they both control well.
I get you. Enough. They feel like they've got the same DNA, but this is a modern like take on it.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, just the characters they're interacting with, like for me, I fell in love with them instantly. And the game itself, it has enough of like that kind of modern formula to not make it, just to make it quite enticing when you're playing. And all these psychedelic levels that just, they're so like engaging. And this one's for you as well, Del. Like there's so many collectibles and they're all so fucking good. Like I did my like first playthrough of just going through it normally just for work and stuff. And then my second playthrough collected everything. And I never
do that. We're talking about collectibles here. This is an important, and you know this question's coming now, Del. It's free on Game Pass. Are you going to pay for it to get the platinum? Because it is on PlayStation. Or are you just going to play it for free? There's a platinum there waiting for you.
Fingers right. Yes, I'm in a very privileged position where I've got an Xbox as well. But my Xbox is in my office. My PlayStation is in my living room. And I like playing games in my living room.
You like having it separate.
Yeah.
Work and play.
But to be fair, though, I do need to boot up my Xbox because I really want to play 12 minutes as well. So what I might do is just boot up that, get 12 minutes, get a few other games at the same time and like spend some time blasting through these
games. Briefly talk about 12 minutes later, but...
Yeah,
I kind of said I enjoyed it last week. I've got different thoughts now.
Spanner in the works. I still want to play it anyway, just to see what it's like.
Yeah,
but like I was saying, with Psychonauts, if you enjoy action platformers and you've never played the first game, don't feel too stressed out or worried, especially if you're on Xbox, because like I said, a lot of people have Game Pass, especially if you're on Xbox, and it's just, I feel like it's such a good game. Mm. It felt so refreshing to play, especially since... I know. I dived into Aliens with Dale and I was feeling a bit flat with that until I got to the end of it and then jumping into Psychonauts.
What happens if you play with Dale?
Hey!
Get a bit flat.
I was having a good time.
I was having a good time as well. I just want to reiterate.
You were right, though. Like, it back to Aliens for a brief second, but it does start off slow. And once you get into the rhythm of, like, towards the end of the game, we were like, wanted more. And then we were going back for Horde mode. Now we've just gone back and played some more levels again and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's definitely something that picks up. Anyway, back to Psychonauts.
But yeah, Psychonauts 2, I think overall, it's a sequel to an already great game, but Psychonauts 2 is just made better. You know, the worlds are a joy to explore. The collectibles are fun and they add to your character's progression because it like beefs you up and you level up in this game and collect pins that can alter your abilities as well. And just the story is interesting as well because it's a nice personal story that covers subjects that you don't really see tackled in games that look like that.
Nice. It just looks appealing as well, like we were talking about with Docky V earlier. It just looks colourful and bright and fun to look at. Mm. Like sometimes you need a bit of that because a lot of games can just be quite dark to look at. Maybe it's just the games and films I'm attracted to.
I was going
to
say,
quite dark.
Yeah.
Like I like a bit of colour every now and then. I mean, I'm really looking forward to jumping
You certainly get that with each levels because, you know, sometimes they're colourful, sometimes they're creepy, and sometimes they have different art styles entirely. Like, it's just a great game, man.
How long is it? Twice already. That's exactly what I was going to ask. How long does it take?
It took me, I think, 11 hours on my first playthrough, and weirdly enough, even shorter on my second, despite me collecting everything.
Well, it's not weird. You know what you're doing.
I know, but, like, I didn't know where all the collectibles were, but, like, I it's just a fucking good game. You need to play it if you got a Game Pass.
I'm going to play it.
Just saying it.
I'm definitely going to play it. I've actually got a week off next week, which I haven't had for that, a long time, I'm looking forward to that.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, because I don't think anyone
Well, you won't hear
it
on the podcast next week, because I won't be on it. yeah, it seems like a glowing endorsement from Jesse Gomez. And if you don't like the game, just tell him you hate it and have a go.
Honestly, if someone doesn't like it and listens to the podcast, I would like to know why they didn't like it. Because it's just I've seen glowing reviews, and it'll just be interesting to hear a different opinion.
There we go. IGN underscore UK feedback at IGN.com. As usual, we could do with some different emails, actually, because I feel like we're running low on the British sitcom suggestions now. We've appreciated all of them.
Just bring back
wrong,
the crisps in, and then we'll get all the viewers back.
Yeah, we need more crisps chat. I had some of my favourites today, the Walker's Max paprika flavoured. They may be my favourite, Chris. They're up there.
I had some Pringles the other day. Just nice standard. It's nice to go back to the original.
Very
sometime.
Nice. One more. I think we're not going to talk about long for this one, but Jesse, you've had a chance to go hands-on with Riders Republic, which is out, I think, early next year, is it? I think it's open beta right now until...
Yeah, I think that's happening for
until
the next
the
28th, days.
Which is Saturday, so this comes... You have a day to play it if you want to play the open beta for Riders Republic. It looks kind of exactly what I thought it would be, which is kind of... an extreme sports version of Forza Horizon, but with even more annoying characters.
Yeah, it is pretty much that. And this is what hit me straight away when I got into the game, is that Riders Republic and its tone, it's just very, like, bro dude, we're all mates, I love Instagram and shite. Like, hey, you want to have a mushroom burger, bro? Because we're all about that shit. Like, it's all that kind of
well,
stuff.
Well, you got to get some mushroom burgers.
Mushroom burgers are mentioned heavily during the beta.
Really?
And
okay,
I don't know if it's just me, because like all that kind of tone, it just I feel
I
very
you were
jaded.
A fun guy.
It just feels so obnoxious. It feels so obnoxious when you get in, and it's like the most annoying parts of Forza Horizon. That's why I like Forza Motorsport, because it's the good
you
racing.
You prefer motorsport to Horizon,
but no, that's because I like the classic racing. That's Jesse's MO though, isn't it? Like he's very much a technical guy. Oh. That's why he like flight simulator and stuff.
It's
love Forza Horizon.
It's an overbearing tone.
Yeah, if I could take. Well, and you can turn off the nonsense story and radio chat, to be fair, but it looks like Riders Republic just throws all that in your face.
Yeah, I mean, even, like, you know, aside from the opening cutscene and stuff, the first race is very Forza Horizon. You know, you're jumping from sport to sport in different locations, doing, like, a little mini tour of the map once you jump in. And being thrown in, it all felt a little bit clunky at first. Like, the bike, because I was playing with a controller and stuff during the beta on my PC, I was like, felt like I was controlling the tank at first. I was like, this feels... dreadful. It didn't feel very responsive. I couldn't turn quick enough and stuff. But once you're settled in, it feels fine. And you know, Cardi mentioned it, Riders Republic is meant to be a large open world, you know, sport playground. You're going to be using bikes, skis, snowboards, rocket wings, paragliders, and a bunch of other stupid shit as well. But none of them to me feel particularly fantastic in terms of response, and that's the exact opposite of what you want in a game where, you know, that's the key focus. It's like eFootball missing components and shit. It doesn't make sense.
I gotta say, Jesse, I was like kind of interested in Riders Republic, and then I heard you and Matt talking about it, and I was like, actually maybe fuck it. But then I watched your gameplay video where you did the 64 player race.
That looks mad.
And then but then you're also like switching on the fly to different like transport modes. I thought it looked pretty good. I felt like I could have fun with
that. I'm sure it is fun for you.
This is the thing. Once you've settled down to the controls and you kind of understand it, because just being thrown in, especially when they don't feel particularly responsive, it can be a bit off-putting. But the multi-sport events, the mass race events, which is the 64-player, you know, like multi-sport races, they are fun because, you know, you're like, you start off in a bike and you're nailing those landings, like when you're flying off a mountain and then suddenly, you know, you're in a snowboard doing cool flips to try and get your points up whilst avoiding, you know, 63 other people.
Yeah.
It's like fucking, how did I describe it? It's like Fall Guys, just...
Yes.
Fucking 10 times madder. but this is what frustrates me a little bit. Because, you know, with Mario Kart, every other kart in your way feels like a proper physical presence within the race. You know, if you even bump into another kart, it's like, you know, huge ramifications and stuff for Mario Kart. But with Riders Republic, you don't really get that. It doesn't really feel like a threat other than a tree that's coming 300 miles per hour.
I mean,
if in a
64-player race, that would be...
I know, but this is the thing, like... It should either go in one extreme or the other, because at first, like, half of it is a bit floaty and unresponsive, and the other is, you know, a little bit fun, but it's just, I don't think it's all there.
I think people enjoy it, it'll do all right. Like, it's similar reminds me of like a play when The Crew 2 came out. I played a few hours. I was like, all right, I get this kind of switching vehicles on the fly. It's fun for a few hours. You explore the map and then you don't play it again, but then you look and like millions of people play this game. I don't know who they are. Who are the Crew 2 players out there?
I mean, but there like, you go. I think it's a sort of aliens fighting thing where it is fun and I don't think it goes beyond that for me. And it's got PvP modes as well, which I've honestly never been a big fan of when it comes to racing, like racing sport games. So one of them is like a trick battle where you're split into a team of two and it's a small map and they're split into sections. So one person, like one team has to do more tricks in another part of the map to kind of claim that section of the map for them. It's kind of like a King of the Hill scenario. Yeah. It just all felt a little bit like this is okay. The mass race was the highlight, but even that, it can be a bit frustrating.
I would say you never really strike me as like a sports game sort of guy.
Is, I like SSX and stuff, or SSX and
I could really tell it was your gameplay, by the way, when it was like on bikes and snowboarding. It was like super, and then as soon as you got your little jetpack wingsuit thing, you were like flying, going past people, and I was like, he plays flight simulator.
Grab yourself a mushroom burger for extra speed boost. That's what you missed out. You should have had the mushroom burger. Okay, that's enough Riders Republic. It's not, you know, don't have anything to say about Riders Republic. What I do have is a lot to say about The Forgotten City. You may have heard about this game. It's been picking up traction. It came out a few weeks ago. And it's one of the best games I've played all year.
Skyrim mod thing that
started originally as that? So now it's a full game. And I've played about 5 hours, and I've got, there's multiple endings, and there's 4 different endings you can get, and I've got 2 of them, including like the big canon in quotation marks ending. It's only meant to take 5 to 7 hours, so it's not an overly long game. I think it's only 20, 25 quid. And it's just a really good game. And I said I was going to mention 12 Minutes, because 12 Minutes is a similar game in a way that it's a mystery puzzle game set on a time loop, whereas the more I played 12 Minutes, the less I liked it, and I ended up not really liking it at all. I just don't think it's a very, like,
I felt frustrated as I went along with 12 Minutes.
Themes, I'm not personally offended by the themes or anything. I've seen a lot of films and stuff that broaches subjects they talk about. I just think it's badly told story. I just don't think it's a very good story, and ultimately not rewarding on a gameplay level, and I found it quite joyless in the end. Yeah. Altogether, I didn't like it very much. The Forgotten City is the complete opposite. Like I said, it's one of the best games I've played all year. It is a puzzle game set on a time loop, but it's a much more forgiving time loop, in as much as you're pretty much in control of that time loop. You're not feeling stressed out when the loop starts. Exactly. Like, there is a time when the loop will end, but it's basically a full day cycle, which is near an hour. It's at least half an hour, the loop. Like, you have plenty of time to take your time, because the game is all about talking to people, really, and finding out what's going on in this city. And the main, I'm not going to say, because I don't want to spoil any of the twists or turns this game takes, because it's not a particularly challenging game. Like, it gives you basically objectives. It tells you what you need to be doing and who you need to be talking to. But basically, the story is you are a person, you just wake on a riverbank and you talk to someone, and they're like, basically, go into this city. Like, there was someone else who woke up with you that went into the city, go and try and find them, basically. And then you just basically kind of fall down this hole in this well under the ground in the wake in this forgotten city. And you just walk around this city, and you realize there's just golden statues everywhere. And as you walk past them, you just hear this creaking. And it took me a second to realize it's that thing of when you walk past them, their heads turn and they're looking at you. Whenever you turn around, it's got that creepy sort of, is it the Weeping Angels from Doctor Who sort of thing? So it's got that creepy sort of vibe. And then you just come into this city, and it's like you've basically been transported back in time to the Roman age, and you're in this forgotten city, and it's a Roman city underground, essentially, with lots of Roman people. And you talk to the kind of the leader, the mayor, the magistrate of this town, and he basically explains that there's this golden rule in this city, which means this is meant to be basically a utopia, like a place where no sin is allowed. And to stop that happening, if anyone in the whole of this city commits a sin, everyone in the city dies or is turned to gold, essentially.
That's actually a really sick premise.
You're basically given the you are told at the end of this day someone is committing a sin and you have to find out who that person is and tell him.
That sounds like genuinely pretty
and
sick.
It goes all sorts of places from there, which I'm not going to go, but that is the main premise. It's a really good hook for a game, and you basically just have to go around, talk to people, work out maybe a way to escape, work out what's going on. You can choose what path. There's four different endings and kind of four completely different ways you can kind of try and do this.
Yeah.
And I've done two of them, both good endings, one a lot stronger than the other, which, yeah, and I don't want to say anything more really other than if you're intrigued by that, I'd play it. And it's a lot of just talking to people and working things out. There's not a, there's a little bit of, like, one path you go down does have a bit of action to it. But apart from that, it's a pretty, you know, chilled out game to play.
You mentioned it's a lot of talking. What are the performances like? Because that's obviously going to be the main thing.
They're solid. Okay. Like, I wasn't put off. You can see, like, the Skyrim mod. Like, it's not a bad-looking game by any means, but, like, the face models, they look like upred Skyrim models. Right. They kind of move and talk like that. It's not off-putting anyway. It's just a very good story and a very good mystery to solve, and I had a great time of it.
You said at one point that you can restart your own control of the time loop. So if you get so far and you're like, "Oh fuck this one, I'm gonna start again," you can just
You can commit a, basically, you can be the one who commits a sin if you want, and the time loop. I don't want to say like that's how you trigger the time loop. Okay. That's how you start again, essentially.
You sold it to me. I'm interested.
Like I didn't check anything about this game other than seeing, you know, tweets where it's like, this is based on Skyrim.
I went, I just saw a lot of people saying, if you didn't like 12 minutes, play this because it's a lot better version. And I agree completely.
So, what are you playing it on?
I played it on PlayStation 5. It's on PC, consoles. Oh. I think it is coming to Switch, but it's not on Switch yet. But yeah.
You've sold me on the premise because that sounds very, very cool.
And like I said, 5 hours, I'd done the main ending, and I've still got two more endings. I want to see what happens. Quite an obtainable platinum, I think, Dale. There are some things you'll have to do over and over again.
No, had me in platinum.
he'll skip all the dialogue for the trophy. He doesn't care.
No, not in this sort of game, I wouldn't. If I need to watch the dialogue, it depends on the sort of game, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. If it's Borderlands, I'd skip the dialogue.
I can't recommend The Forgotten City enough. And yeah, don't read up about it. Just jump in and jump into The Forgotten City.
Very excited.
I've got one more recommendation, which I'm sure a lot of people will have watched already, especially if you are an American, because The White Lotus has been on TV for weeks now, and we only just got it here, I think, a week or so ago on Now TV, because it's a HBO program, only six episodes, a limited series, like one-and-done story, which is sometimes great for TV, just, you know, a season and done. But if you don't know the premise of this show, I had a very good time of it. It's kind of a dark comedy satire drama, and it's set on this Hawaiian resort, and it's about all these guests that are at this resort for a week or so, and they also have the cool hook within, and I'm not spoiling anything here, it's within the first 2 minutes of the show they show one character who at the end of the journey, so they do a time thing where it starts right at the end of the trip, and one guy goes like, "How was your holiday?" and he just goes like, "Oh, it was awful. Like, someone died." And then it goes back to the start of the holiday. So you're spending the whole of the rest of the season going, which one of these many characters is going to end up dead, basically. Okay. And it's just all these interconnected stories. It's quite darkly funny. It's like, it's a big satire, basically. Largely on white privilege, I think, and just how horrible a lot of people can be. But yeah, it's quite darkly funny, and it's quite an easy watch at the same time, although it gets a little dark, but it's at the same time quite funny. But it's only six episodes and done. So you've got Now TV.
Are they an hour long, 45 minutes?
Yeah, like 50 minutes, that sort of thing. Yeah, I'd recommend it. The White Lotus, if you haven't watched it.
It sounds quite cool.
Yeah, it's very good. Those are my recommendations for the week. Shall we do an endless search?
Yeah. Inside, it's a UK IGN crew. Yeah. Yeah, on the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, on the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it endless search? God, Dale's up for an endless search, isn't he? He couldn't be more excited for this. I have done one here, which is
kind of a riff on one we've done in the past, but not for a while. It's the translation game. So what I've done here is I've got 9 game tiles here because I thought, do an odd number because then there's no tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. So I don't need one. 9 video games here that I've translated their title from English to Serbian to Swahili to Spanish and back to English. Ooh. And this is what they've come out as. It's going to start quite easy, but they're going to get more and more ridiculous as they go on. Some of them are quite funny, the translations. So should be pretty simple. And it's just, you know, shout if you know it. Simple.
All right.
So the first couple you might get quite easily. Okay. This is just a warm-up, though, basically. So the first one is Halo Has No End.
Halo Infinite.
Halo Combat Evolved.
Oh, Halo got Infinite, it. Halo yeah. Infinite. Yeah.
No Combat end. Evolved. Does I not mean,
translated
translate
like 6 million times. You never know.
I think I you do know that one.
That's 1-0 today. Like I said, that's the easy one.
Yeah.
They're not going to be that easy again. Okay. The next one is simply Big Shadow.
Ooh. Shadow of the Colossus?
It is Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, of course it is. You're nice, yeah.
Big Shadow.
No, the way it messes me up is when the words, like the orders messed
when
up.
A lot, yeah, yeah. Or there's just a lot less or a lot more words for some reason. So, Big Shadow. Okay, the next one. Black Spirit.
Ooh. Shadow the Hedgehog. You never know.
Think of what the words, where is Hedgehog being translated into?
I don't know, man. It could be.
You know, I don't think you got what this game is.
I know what it is, but...
What is it? Black Spirit. Okay.
Black Spirit. Just got to kind of think of your synonyms. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think what black could be. Or
both of them. If it helps.
Dark Souls.
It is Dark Souls.
Oh, there we go. Nice. Yes.
There we go. Well done.
I think
done.
I actually have like Black Spirit enemies in the game. So
no?
There we are.
Do they? Well, there we go. 2-1 to Jesse. Here's the next one. Guard Dog Army.
Oh my god.
From Serbian to Swahili to Spanish to
oh, that was
English.
A close things up.
Where was this lost in translation?
I can't get Army of Two out of my head. I need
yeah,
to just say it
I,
so
I
it's out.
I was going to say that, but it isn't though.
Guard Dog Army. Call of Duty, no. Just thinking of war games, and that's not the game.
Yeah.
I've got to focus on the words. I'm trying Medal of Honor, Airborne. So no.
Guard Dog Army. What I will say is one of those words has barely been changed at all. So one of those is basically the same. It's even a game we've mentioned on this podcast, albeit
today.
Very briefly. Yeah.
Okay.
Guard Dog
Army.
Fuck. It's going to be so obvious, I know it.
I feel like it's a Call of Duty.
I can't think what it is.
I'm going to give you an extra hint. It's okay. The dog. So the dog is barely changed.
How can I not think of a game with dog in the title?
Guard Dog Army.
Jesus Christ.
A dog's life.
Can't think of a single game with the word dog in the title.
We talked about it. Another word for
just
an
telling
army.
Us what it is.
You're really helping
about,
us out here.
I talked about what? Trying to think of a Roman army.
Oh, okay.
God.
Just think, no. I can't get words out of my head. That's the pressure. It's trying to shift this.
I'm trying to remember what that.
People are going to be screaming.
I know, right? That's why
it's not. It's not this, but it's not rice. Son of no, that doesn't make sense.
No, there's no dogs in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I just can't think. Roman Empire is all I can think of right now. I need to get that out. Centurion as well. I can't get the word
dogs,
centurion out of my mind.
Something dogs, something.
I can't. I can't get it, man.
Are you passing?
Yeah,
it's Watch Dogs Legion.
For fuck's sake.
It's like,
it's the only game with dogs in the
so obvious as well. Yeah. Jesus, that's embarrassing.
Guard Dog Army. Oh, that's a good one. Okay. That's why maybe there will be a tiebreaker. Let's hope neither if you don't get another one. The next one we've got is Significant Impact.
Why do I feel like this is an RPG or a racing game?
Both words have changed. And both, okay. Both just clear synonyms.
Okay.
Significant Impact. it's not Deep Impact with Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, that's the problem, right? When you get something like that in your brain, like I did have that. It's like, I can't shift that out to make room for new ideas.
Broken Impact.
Something strike.
No. If something makes a significant impact, it could also make a...
Also make a Resident Evil.
My God, this game is not for me. I can tell.
No.
I thought I was off to a flying start as well.
Can you tell us what year this game came out?
I would tell you it's a game that was re-released this year.
Oh, piss!
I'm so sorry, listeners. Like, I'm really.
I think
sorry.
It's a game you got. I think you've got platinum in it this year, Dale.
Of course. Oh.
Of course.
Game I played for the first time this year, actually.
It was re-released this year. Oh my God.
I'm sorry for that.
Yeah, like literally, my brain is not working.
Wait.
I want to say. I'm thinking of a subtitle, but I'm not sure this makes sense.
Significant impact. Go on then.
I was going to say Rift Apart, but it's no. You said it was a re-release, wasn't it?
No, it's it was re-released in a trilogy this year.
Mass Effect, fuck's sake.
It's Mass Effect. Oh. There we go. Significant Impact is Mass Effect. Man. 2-2. There we go. Just the four left. Let's see.
Got two.
Okay, you're never going to get this. I thought there's some harder ones here, but some quite funny ones. This one, I don't think you'll ever get. You might do, but it's a real tough one.
Okay.
The ills of the population.
Rise of an empire. No.
The ills of the population. And I will say it's misleading. This is only a two-word game title.
Oh, Plague Tale Innocence? No.
No. The ills of the population. Population is maybe where...
Okay.
You could... Like, that one is very... This is the hardest one, I will say.
Resident Evil Village?
It's just Resident Evil. You can have it.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
There we go. I thought you might get it just because one of you would say Resident Evil at some point.
Just say it.
There you go.
It's a game.
The ills. I don't know how that got translated to the ills of the population, that's but crazy, I like yeah. it. Three more. 3-2 to Jesse. We have got next The Rise of the Bomber from the Grave. Some of those words haven't been changed. Rise of the Bomber from the Grave.
I'm thinking of Left 4 Dead. No.
Nah. Rise of the Bomber from the Grave.
<That's a> bomber.
From the Grave. Like, bomber's probably the least helpful word.
Yes.
But Rise of something from the Grave or Grave or something. May well help you.
Yeah. You'd think, wouldn't you?
You would think.
It feels like
Rise of the Bomber from the Grave.
Yeah. It's another word for a grave where I don't know, different places you may put a dead body. I don't know.
I feel like I'm in a school test.
Where else might, after a funeral, might a body be laid to rest? I don't know. I will say Rise of is the same.
The problem is you say that, right, and then I'll get words in my head that I know are not the answers. Like, I have cemetery and coffin in my head that I just can't remove now.
Yeah, I mean, you're not far away. It is neither of those, but, you know, more along the crypt route or something, but it's not crypt. I mean, and Rise of is still the same. Rise of has not changed, I will tell you that.
We are Rise shockingly of. Shit at this game.
The Bomber from the Grave. I don't know why it's Bomber, but it's just obviously a mistranslation.
Do you know the only game I can think of with Rise of right now is Rise of the Robots. Do you remember that?
No.
It's like a fighting game on PS1.
I know certain people are going to be screaming this. I reckon throughout the whole of this game that Matt is having a horrible time, and I know you'll be listening, Matt, and I apologise.
It's an horrible game. It makes you feel really stupid as well. That's the worst part about it.
Rise, like, sort of think of a game that starts with Rise of.
Wait. So, is it
Oh, I mean, I can't stop thinking of Rise of the Planet of the Apes, so I don't know where we are.
It's not.
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
It is Rise of the Tomb Raider. Okay. There you go. That makes sense. From the grave. I don't know where Bomber and Tomb... No, Bomber and Raider kind of mixed up.
The hint was that Matt, because I know he enjoyed that game a lot, I think.
He does. Well, a lot of people...
So did I. I can think of it.
That's 4-2 to Jesse, so Jesse can't lose. There's two more. Okay. Could still be a draw. Here we go.
Yeah.
Two more. Here we go. Elite Guests of the Squad.
That has to be like
Fireteam Elite.
It is Aliens Fireteam Elite.
I was wondering whether Aliens would have been involved.
It will make sense. That's 4-3. Can Dale save face? One more to go. And this is my favourite translation. It's very good because it kind of does make sense, but I have no idea how it came out with this. He died in the afternoon.
Okay.
I want to play that game. Whatever. He died in the afternoon.
I am dead.
No. None of those words are exactly the same, but some of them are quite similar, I will say.
What was that one game Joe reviewed?
It's not that. He died in the afternoon.
He
died.
I was going to say the day before. No. The last of... No.
So you said none of them are quite the same, right?
None of them are the same, but some are quite similar. It's only a three-word title, I will say. So he died in the afternoon.
Left for dead?
No, but you've got one of the words right.
Dead.
The sinking city?
No.
Back for blood?
No. He died in the afternoon. What is there a lot of in the afternoon?
Sun.
Unless you're in like the Antarctic, you will get a lot of this during the afternoon most of the year. Normally between the hours of like 6 a.m. and 8 p.m. roughly. And it's not Left for Dead.
I've lost me here, like just saying things and I'm just trying to just snatch on
can you give us a hint of the year?
It came out a few years ago. It's an ongoing game. So at night you get a lot of moonlight.
Dying Light.
during the hours of the day you get a different sort of light.
Oh fuck.
Hours of the day you get a different sort of light.
Okay. Jesus Christ. And you could be dead.
Dead by daylight.
Jesus Christ. I wish I'd never done this. That was painful.
Yeah.
I don't know who won that, but
whatever.
Everyone's a loser.
Yeah, we all lost. Let's never do that again.
Well, not you two.
Well, yeah, not with us idiots, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Let's get some feedback.
All right.
Dale.
I've got to focus.
This actually goes on perfectly from the quiz.
This is from Martin Lindstam. He says, "Hi IGN UK, I'm writing to you because I didn't know where else to turn with this knowledge. Seeing as you are experts in both games and and genitalia euphemisms, I haven't read this in advance, but in genitalia euphemisms, I figured you might like to know that the upcoming cosmic horror game Dolmen has a different meaning in Sweden. Dolmen roughly translates, by the way, being a slang word to the dong. Funny? Yes. Fitting for a horror game? Maybe. Love the pod, Martin."
The Dong. I would play a game called The Dong.
The Dong.
It's like the Gunk is a great name for a game. I think Dolmen, there was a trailer for it at Opening Night Live, actually. But it looks like an interesting game. But yeah, I did not know that Dolmen translates in Swedish to The Dong.
That's very good.
And now I will never forget that. So amazing. Jesse, you've got an email.
Yeah, this is from Zach Evans. He says, "Hi all, love the pod, and I've really been enjoying the content you produce on the site. My pick for British sitcom smash character would be Mr. Gilbert from The Inbetweeners, played by Greg Davies. He'd be a Pokemon trainer-style character using Neil, Simon, Will, and Jay to fight for him. The person he sends out into the arena would be randomized as the high schoolers range from completely useless to super OP. Of course, Neil is the useless one. Mm-hmm. Think the Pokemon Wobbuffet. Is that
Wobbuffet? Yeah.
There we go. No moving, jumping, or anything remotely practical. Simon is OP. He'll drive on a shitty yellow and red Fiat. What is that?
Chicento.
That's it. My favorite car. mowing the opposition down like the cars on the F-Zero stage. Will would be the melee character fighting with his briefcase. Jay's the ranged attacker. He'll be swearing constantly, and the words would manifest on the screen as projectiles. Imagine Alan Partridge being hit with a bus wanker. Cheers, and for Christ's sake, respect the sea.
I think he needs to put respect on Neil's name. Neil is like, why is he making that as a useful one? He's got the best dance moves, like, in the universe.
In the universe?
Smash sitcom universe, is what I'm saying. His dancing skills surely would mesmerize his opponents, luring him into a stun.
It's good. I mean, Zach's coming on with suggestions. We're here to workshop it, I feel. Yeah, we can. Yeah, I just like the idea of Greg Davis as a Pokemon trainer.
He's nice to have, like, garb. Multi-tiered approach to a combatant. That's always, thought-provoking.
He lost me. Well, I wasn't sure about when he said Jay as a ranged attacker, but then when he explained it, it made more sense to me. Like, he's all about the bullshit and the swear words, so yeah.
I haven't watched The In-Betweeners.
You haven't watched In-Betweeners?
I thought you'd be I was prime age for that, to be fair.
Oh, it is good.
Was there an American In-Betweeners?
Yeah.
They did try, bless them. Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
I've got an email here from Ricky McNamara, who has taken part in a charity football match for Autism Hampshire, which is a good cause. Mm. On the 29th of August, so that's this Sunday, Ricky and his Sunday League football team are taking part in a charity football match in Gosport, which is just a small town across the water from Portsmouth. The charity they're supporting is Autism Hampshire, and the charity is very important to Ricky, as he knows a few people that has to deal with it. So basically, what we've got here is a link. If you want to send any money, you don't have to. It's just, like sharing a good cause. So Ricky's playing a game for charity for Autism Hampshire, and if you want to donate, it is gofund.me/47338B51. That's 47338B51. I feel like I'm doing one of those live phone-ins. Yeah, I could never be a TV presenter where they have to repeat the full phone number over again, because I would definitely get it wrong every other time. It's a good cause.
Just trying to see if there's a way we can quickly Google it and tell people what to search for so they can find it.
Yeah, I'm sure if you searched charity football match for Autism Hampshire, 29th of August, that would come up. But yeah, if you feel like donating.
That's really lovely, Ricky, and I hope it all goes very well.
Exactly, yeah. And I hope you win the match. I know that's not the most important thing, but it's always good to
win. Smash them.
Exactly. I think that's it. That's all we've got this week. As I said, I'm off next week, so everyone can celebrate. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
You going anywhere nice? Or is it catch up and games
I'm
time?
Going. I'm actually going to Brighton for a few days. I've not been to Brighton in ages, so... Getting out of my house, like away out of London for the first time in what, a year and a half. So nice. I'm really looking forward to that.
I hope you have a good time.
Oh, thank you very much.
Sounded so insincere.
What music should we have? I mean, the music from that Doke V trailer.
Is it just like mainly like punch sounds and explosions and shit?
No, that was full on soundtrack. It was basically a music video. It was mad. We could go for that.
I was going to suggest.
I don't really want to go for that Enter Sandman cover.
I was going to suggest that.
No. Well, if we're doing that, we're just playing Enter Sandman. Yeah. By Metallica. Like, but we're not doing that. Let's play Doke V.
Fair enough.
Aliens Fireteam Elite does have some wacky music, to be fair.
That is very true.
I don't know it yet.
Yeah. There's a couple levels where it has music where it sounds like
the Jawa music
from Star Wars. Yeah.
Where you're like killing aliens and it all sounds really upbeat and happy. So weird.
That is very odd. I can't wait for that. I will probably play it on my week off when I'm not in Brighton. Hope there's no aliens in Brighton. There we go. It's been lovely. As usual, IGN_UK feedback at IGN.com. Just email us anything, really. We're kind of just...
Don't email in how shit we were at the quiz, please. Oh, I just want to forget about
that. No one was going to do that until you mentioned it.
I want to forget about it forever.
It's not my job to read out next week, so Ryan, whatever you
want. What's your
want.
Best or worst quiz-related memories? I'm sure everyone has those.
What?
There you go.
Quiz memories.
Sure, I'm sure some mad shit has happened in a, you know, a quiz when you're at a pub with...
A punch-up at a quiz.
Well, pub quizzes, that can be eventful.
Exactly. Someone could have went mad... And now I want to hear about it.
There we go. That's Jesse's request. Maybe he'll read out next week, because I won't be. Goodbye.
Tell him bye.
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 Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.